And so, Brother Steve, God bless you as you come. Minister the word of the Lord to our hearts this evening.
Well, I got to share this before I get started. I've been working on a sermon for about 3 weeks, really hard. And I'd go to bed. I shared this with a few people in church today, and they've been, praise the Lord, they've been praying for me. But I worked on this sermon. I'd be in bed sleeping, and the Lord would bring up verses and things that would really, I couldn't even sleep because of it. He'd just keep me awake. So I'd get up and start writing notes. And I'd get up in the morning, and I'd look, and I think, okay, I got these notes. It doesn't really mean as much as it did last night. I got all my notes together, and I'd start working, and I'd get the same thing. The Lord would just start preaching to my, in my head. And I started working on this sermon, got most of it typed up last night, and I looked at it. I practiced. I read through it. It was boring. It looked like just a bunch of words on a page. That's all it was. And I know it was God's word, but I couldn't preach it. And I got so frustrated at working on that. Last night, or this morning, I guess it was 2 o'clock, I said, I give up. I'm calling pastor in the morning. How did I say that? I said, no, God, I'm going to get up front by faith. No, I'll tell you the truth. I said, I'm telling pastor, I guess he's going to have to preach because I can't. I have nothing to preach. I got up this morning, Jody was already up, and I said, hey, Jody, come here. She came over, and I said, I'm calling pastor. I can't preach tonight. I have nothing to preach. I don't know what to preach. God gave me words, but I look at the page, and it's just a bunch of words, and it's boring. She said, okay. And then right after that, I thought of Sunday school last Sunday, and Brian was teaching about Abraham's faith, and I was convicted, and I thought, I told pastor I was going to get up here, and I guess I'm going to do it. So I've got people praying for me. We're going to share some things that the Lord has brought up in my life, and then we're just going to see where the Lord goes from there. I am a person that likes to have everything in writing before I say anything. Even when people ask me to pray, I get a little nervous because I think, I'm not very good with words. But here I am. Anyway, the Lord has been doing, he's been doing quite a work in my life for the last, I would say, 10 years, chipping away filth and dirt, tearing idols out of my hands that I will not let go of. For years, as a young person, I'd be out in the woods hunting all hours of the night. I'd coon hunt with following my dogs, you know, and I'd look up at the sky and I'd see the moon and I'd see the stars I'd hear the Lord saying, why are you wasting your time doing this? There's people dying and they're going to hell, and you're out here playing with your coonhounds. So I was convicted. I got rid of my coonhounds, and I bought some beagles and started hunting rabbits. Anyway, well, that lasted for a little while. And I've had other idols in my life, sin idols also, and the Lord has been taking them out of my life. I've felt that I've had the Lord's wanted me to preach. I don't have a pastor's heart, but there's other areas of preaching. But when I walk down the streets and I look at people, I think, how many of these people are going to hell? and I keep my mouth shut. I think of the wrath of God. I mean, I read about the wrath of God over and over in the Word of God. And His wrath, because of His holiness, God is so holy. There is nothing that is holy like our God is holy. God's holy law was birthed from God's holy nature. He's holy. Holy, there's only one holy. Only our God is holy. I hear people saying that, I've had people tell me that they're holy now, and I think, oh, you're not holy. You're not even close, except for God's grace. He can make a person holy, but you're not holy. You're living off of God's holiness. I see, and I think that's one of the problems that I see in the church today in America, is people don't know how holy God is, and they don't know how vile and wicked their sin is. And then some people tell me their sin isn't that bad. You know, so what's sin? Well, Adam and Eve, one bite of a fruit, and they were cast from the presence of God. One bite of a fruit. And we have so many sins in our life, you can't even count them. I see people on the streets, and I imagine people in hell. And I think of the lake of fire. You know, people are put into hell when they die, and then after a while, after the great white throne judgment, God casts everything into this lake of fire. And I think of this lake of fire. I think of children, little kids playing out on the water, throwing each other in the water, having fun, coming up out of the waves, laughing. But when God casts you into hell, you won't be laughing and having fun. That hell is real. That fire, those waves come crashing over your head. It's hot. And it burns. And God gives people, everybody, a new body. And a body that will live forever. And you will feel everything that you feel here. And the hot, that fire in the lake of fire is God's wrath. And God's wrath is coming down upon all those that do not know Him. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Is the text I was going to start my sermon on. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent. Do you know what repent means? I always thought repent means turn from your sin. And I had a problem for years with my sin. I'd sin and I'd think, am I really a Christian? Repentance is not turning from your sin. Turning from your sin is a fruit of repentance, but repentance is a change of mind and a change of attitude from sin toward God. And I always thought repenting was I'd turn from my sin. Well, I got to change my mind. God does the rest. If you repent just by turning from your sins, that's religion. That's a religion of works. Turning from your sin is works. There is no work. We cannot work for our salvation. There's nothing that we can do for our salvation. We can change our mind, but that's not a work. Turning from your sin is a work, but I've had many people tell me, oh, you sound like a legalist. You're a legalist because you say that we've got to follow God's law. Well, if you're saved, you will follow God's law. Jesus, Ezekiel 36, says, Ezekiel 36, where are we? 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. If you're a Christian, or you call yourself a Christian, are you keeping God's law? You might say, well, God can't make me. Well, then you're not one of his, and you're on your way to hell. Because if you are one of God's, you will keep his commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, or if you do sin, because Christians do sin, you're going to loathe yourself. You're going to hate yourself. And that is biblical. You can loathe yourself when you sin, not because of what sin's going to do to you, but because what you've done to the Savior. So repentance. We turn our heart towards God. And at that point is the regeneration or the new birth or being born again. And I don't need to look at those notes. There's nothing in there anyway. I've got to ask people here, and you young people, I hear so many people say that they're radical Christians. And they look no different than the world. There's fornication in their lives. Well, I know a lot of young people, it's just common now, fornicate, have sex out of marriage. Lying, you know, lying is, to God, it's a sin. It's just as bad as everything else. I mean, bad enough to throw you into hell if you haven't repented and put your trust in Christ. I ask people sometimes, I hope I'm not jumping around too much for you, but I ask people sometimes, I forgot what I ask people sometimes. I have to get back to you on that one. I know. Christian people too. What, you know, they say, oh, I'm saved. Well, what are you saved from? Do you know what you're saved from? You're saved from God himself. You're saved from God. If you are saved, some people tell me that they're saved because they're saved from sin. Well, sin wasn't hurting you. I mean, you're friends with sin. You chase after sin. You follow sin. God's coming after people. He's coming after people. The Bible says that God hates sinners. I hear people say, oh, God loves the sinner. God loves the sin. Excuse me. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. My Bible says God hates the sinner. God is angry with the wicked every day. If the sinner doesn't turn, God will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready for destruction. God hates the sinner. God But we got to remember, God is a God of love. He loves so much. His love is so infinite that he loves even the objects of his hatred. That's us. He loves us. He hates sin so much he can't look at it. When Jesus Christ was put on the cross, God had to turn his face away. Why? You hear some preachers say, oh, God turned his face away from the cross because he couldn't stand what they were doing to his son. How his son was beaten. And I'm not trying to take away from what happened to Jesus Christ physically on the cross. I lost it again.
He couldn't stand to look at Jesus because he
hit. Oh, thank you. I needed that. Thank you very much. The reason God couldn't look on the cross, look at Jesus on the cross, because he bore your sins. He bore your sins on the cross. God hates sin. Even on his own only beloved son, God hates sin so much. And if you're saved, if you truly are saved, you weren't saved. I'm going to repeat this. You're not saved because the Romans beat Jesus and tore his flesh and hung him on a cross. You are saved because while he was on that cross, he bore your sins. And if he'll do that to his only beloved son, what's he going to do to you if you reject his salvation? For a while, the Lord has been bringing up the wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God, over and over and over in my head and in my mind. I hear the wrath of God. I almost feel the wrath of God when I see people walking on the streets. And that wrath, he tells Jeremiah to go to the nations and give those nations drink from the cup of his indignation, the cup of wine of his wrath. He's got a cup of wrath for everyone that won't turn from their sins. If you're a true believer, your cup is empty because Christ drank that wrath while he was on the cross. He drank God's wrath for you. Not much to look forward to if you haven't repented of your sins and put your trust in Christ to save you from your sins. There's a leper that came running up to Jesus one time. And he said, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole, make me clean. And Jesus said, I will. And he touched him, and the leper was clean immediately. The leper, so often in the Bible, is a sign of the sinner, or a symbol of the sinner. The leper, if you've ever heard about lepers, I've never been around one. Their body starts rotting away, and it's dirty and stinky. It smells like rotting flesh. Have you ever had some old meat sitting in the refrigerator? Or see a deer on the side of the road, and you drive by, and it just reeks. It's rotten and filthy. That's signs of sin. I had a friend. This is the closest I've ever got to a leper, and it wasn't a leper. But I had a friend who broke his leg in an accident, and they had to put him in traction, and they drilled into his bone. And put a rod in there and put the traction on. Well, they had to leave the wounds open, and they healed from the inside out. But while it was healing, nobody at work could stand to be around them because they stunk. It smelled like rotten flesh, and it oozed with pus. Lepers are like that. They ooze with pus and blood and body fluids. And the rags that they wore at the time, I believe is what Jesus said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. The leper is a symbol of the sinner with that dirty, filthy, stinky rags. That's how much our righteousness, what it's worth. I mean, it's to God, it's worth nothing because He is so holy. Maybe you young people, you've done something in your life. There's sin in your life. You come to church. What are you? Do you follow God's law? Do you seek after His law? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. I forgot the rest of it. Anyway, I'm nervous. But do you delight in God's law? Do you delight in his law? If you don't, I would be terribly afraid if I were you. But if you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, there's no hope for me because I've sinned, our God is mighty to save. Amen. He is a God of wrath, but he is full of mercy. And he has mercy for any sinner that'll repent, turn to Christ. If there's sin in your life, I ask you to repent. I don't want to see any of you burning in the lake of fire. That just terrifies me, thinking about the lake of fire and people burning in it. And it makes me also full of shame for not speaking more about God's wrath and God's mercy and what He's done for us. And I praise our God for what He's done for me on the cross. If anybody needs to just run to the Savior. That's all I'm going to say. Run to the Savior. Run to Him. And if you can't, if you can't run to the Savior, just fall right where you're at. Fall on your face before Him and ask Him to save you, and He will. Your repentance, you say, well, maybe I'm so dead in sin, I can't even ask for repentance. Ask God, He will give you repentance. Ask Him, He'll give it.
Amen.
Amen.